Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This week, Danny and Dusty think everything's super.
Oh, it's huge.
It was an absolute unit.
This is Danny and Dusty on Super Week.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
Uncle Hunkle burning crap.
Big butts got it.
The Fan.
Good afternoon!
Oh,
hey, welcome in! Happy Tuesday, everybody. Danny and Dusty with you. How's everybody doing today?
Doing good.
Sun is shining.
Snowed at my house last night.
Did it?
Yeah.
How much you get?
Enough to where it stuck to the deck.
Oh!
I was a little fearful.
Yeah, dude. Decks.
About 1:30 in the morning.
Have I ever told you the story of...
The deck that got you?
Yeah.
No.
Oh. Oh, boy. So in our old, like, I lived in a house where you'd have to go, like, on the deck and go out to a detached garage, and that's where the washer dryer was.
Ooh.
And I had my daughter. She was, like, maybe not even a year.
Mm.
Icy on the deck.
Oh, yeah.
I'm holding her. She was, like, sick. Boom. Slip. I go up. It's, like, slow motion.
Mm.
Like, I'm like, oh, no. And I go to, like, catch my daughter.
Mm.
And boom. I hit the deck, dislocate my shoulder, and as that happens, I hit her legs and her
spinner.
Her face just slam.
You speed
right
up the fall.
I'm like, uh-oh.
Good thing they're resilient then.
I go straight into the doctor and I'm like, you're like a new dad. I have no idea what's going on
out here.
Yeah, I'm like, did I just kill my kid?
Yeah.
A big old welt in the middle of her forehead. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, this is not good.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor's like, very stone cold this dude was.
Mm-hmm. He bedside manner.
He wasn't like the normal pediatrician. He's like, yeah, this happened to my child. Slipped and hit the bumper of a car. And I was like, and? And?
Super dead.
He's like, oh, he's fine now. Yeah. And I was like, God, dude. Yeah. What is wrong with you?
Quit lingering.
Yeah.
Finish this.
I don't mess with decks anymore.
Yeah. Come
I don't
on now.
Mess with decks.
That's, yeah, no.
That freaked me out.
No, mine is, I'm in the process of eventually ripping it out, so it does not have the last year's sealant on it because it's getting ripped out, so it is an icy deck of doom.
Yeah, dude, that's brutal.
Oh, there's three stairs up out of the back of my house that goes up because it's got a hot tub. It's like an elevated deck because it's got the hot tub built around it, or the deck is built around the hot tub. And it's massive. It's like 20 by 40. I mean, it's enormous. And it's going to be such a nightmare to rip out.
Yep.
But I've got the two little dogs, and I could hear them coming across the deck, and they both go to stop, and they went and
boom,
just slid
done.
Across the deck into each other.
No, I don't like ice walking on it. I'm more comfortable driving on it. Because I'm in a car where it's warm.
That's the only difference is you're warm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't trust anybody around here.
Snowmageddon, get ready for it. It's
it's
going to melt.
It's got pushed out, but it looks like there's like a 2-day chance now.
I don't buy it.
It's getting real cold finally. We're getting into the 20s.
Yeah. Still
feels late for that, doesn't it?
It was in the 20s earlier, though.
Yeah.
Did
it? Snow. I don't understand snow and how it works.
Mm.
Yeah, me neither. If it's clear, who cares?
I just don't like the freezing rain. When they tell me freezing rain's coming, I'm like, we're screwed. Mm, this whole city's going to be just...
We were fine last year.
They just don't know how to handle it.
I did break a scraper, though.
See?
Mm.
See? Well, people think of the scrapers.
Well, no one told me that we had canceled all the shows, so I came in.
Oh.
Can I tell you the scraper thing? This is
true professional.
One of the biggest squirrel moments I've ever seen. There is a woman on social media. I don't know the name of the instrument. It's like the Japanese, like three-string guitar. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I'm out on naming of instruments.
I don't know. Like, normally, I'm pretty good about that stuff. Mm-hmm. I do not know what that thing is called. But there is a woman that plays, like, modern songs on that guitar with an ice scraper as a pick. And it is, like, was it playing Welcome to the Jungle?
So,
I was like... Huh?
Could she play this without the ice scraper?
I don't know. Maybe, probably.
No, that's part of the design. I have it up here.
Well, is that like just a shtick that is, or does the ice scraper make it sound?
No, no. Like, that's an actual part of the instrument. I have a picture of the instrument right here.
Okay.
Shamisen. Not even going to try and do it.
I didn't follow that.
Shamisen.
That's definitely not it.
Well, that it is spelled Shamisen.
Yeah.
Shamisen.
Yeah, I understand, like, you're definitely
Shamisen.
You're Americaning the, you know what.
Are you trying to say that I'm the ugly white guy here?
Maybe. But it's okay, Shamisen. You don't know.
Shamisen.
Yeah,
I'll say like Shams.
Yeah. Oh. There you go. All right. Don't know how we got here, but
I told you total score moment playing with an ice scraper. Oh no, it actually like is an ice scraper that they play with.
Oh,
but she was actually playing with like
probably what they call it.
I mean, no, I mean the one she was actually playing with was legitimately an ice scraper. Like that was the thing. I was like, why? What? What is happening here?
Yeah.
But yeah, she's tools. Again. She's you know he mentioned ice scraper and that my squirrel brain went to that immediately because I saw it like two nights ago, and I was like, that's pretty rad. Also, ice scraper, is that metal? I don't know. Does that make this more metal?
I don't know what's going on.
It's such a random thing, but it was very cool.
Okay, we need to have a quick discussion about this real quick. Sports related. We didn't talk about this yesterday. The Raiders hired Chip Kelly.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. In the NFL, they need to step their game up on their graphics. Your beloved Raiders have a great tweet because they're in Vegas, and the tweet is stacking chips. And it says, Coach Kelly, welcome to the silver and black. It has a picture of Chip with his headset on and a black, you know, jacket. But they didn't even, like, put the Raiders logo over. It's him at UCLA.
And the Photoshop work is not good here.
Like, the college game is far superior in the Photoshop. Don't they know you just put your logo over the top of it?
Yeah.
I mean,
also, why would they grab the UCLA one and not the Ohio State one?
I know. He kind of slimmed down at Ohio State a little bit. You know? I don't know. You need to step the game up. I like the stack and chips part.
No, it's a great name.
And we got to talk about that today because Chip Kelly was hired as an offensive coordinator in the NFL. We basketballed so hard yesterday, we didn't even get to that.
No. We have more basketball to get to today, surprisingly.
We definitely do. We're going to have a lot of basketball. It's basketball season.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's
Super Bowl week.
Super Bowl week, but it's basketball season, baby.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of basketball today. We're also going to talk Super Bowl. It was Super Bowl opening night last night.
Yeah.
I think it's lost its luster.
It's because we have access to these guys all the time now, so stupid questions are asked all the time, and...
Well, you know. Yeah, everybody has their podcast, and that's we get the steady stream of these takes throughout the entire course of the year. So it's not nearly as cool as it used to be.
No.
You know, when you hear guys say all this stupid stuff on Micah Parsons' podcast, you don't really need to hear it on opening night of the Super Bowl. But
it's kind of like a All-Star weekend where that used to be the place where everybody got to see their favorite players.
Yeah.
Like Super Bowl, like you know, we've heard about the Sirianni and Jalen stuff, Saquon and the Giants. I mean, he was asked about it again. It was like, okay, we get it. Let's like, I think there's some, as much as leagues try to like wring every ounce of juice out of stuff, it's like the squeeze is gone.
Yeah,
so there's no juice left.
If we might actually get a decent broadcast for the Super Bowl.
Oh,
yeah. The NFL has lifted Tom Brady's restrictions on communication with teams for the Super Bowl.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So
if I can do it for one game, why can't...
If you don't know, Chip Kelly, Tom Brady, because he's a part owner of the Raiders, mm-hmm. he cannot go to team facilities. He cannot talk with players or coaches of other teams because he's an owner, currently an owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. And so his game prep is basically just he looks at stats.
That and all 22.
And then, yeah, he talks to Kevin Burkhardt and gets whatever Kevin Burkhardt got from the teams, and that's all his prep that he does. And just like, talks about his knowledge.
Which, I mean, you talk to Burkhardt, you get everything you're going to get anyways. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I feel there's some really good follow-up questions you can ask, though. And you can get, like, the color guy usually leads those those meetings. So you'll have, like, the play-by-play guy and the color guy will be in a room with the head coach and, well, the sideline reporter. And they have just, like, they kind of pepper them with questions. And then a few select players come in, they do the same thing with, you know, some tidbits and details so that they can go into the game and not be totally surprised. Like, everybody's like, Tony Romo, he's predicting plays. No, Tony Romo is taking what he was told in the meetings and using those to give very well-educated guesses of what's coming, right? Yeah. Like, you're talking about, hey, when they come up on, you know, third down, we've noticed this, you know, and it's like, you don't say anything.
No, there's a trust factor there, 100%.
And it will be gone.
Yeah, if you violate that, I mean, you will lose your job type stuff.
But as a color commentator, you're watching the game saying, yeah, we talked about this, here it comes. And then that's when the predictive nature of the play calls comes.
You can narrow it down because you've seen everything as a quarterback for a decade.
That's right. And now Tom Brady will have a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm hoping we get a good broadcast for the Super Bowl.
I get it. That he shouldn't be a part of stuff, but also, why?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Well, says the Raiders fan who knows that Tom Brady and the rules, there's been a malleable relationship.
Well,
I thought
he was an angel on a saint. He never did any of those things.
Oh, he is.
Oh, okay.
Which
side of the fence are you on now?
I'm just saying that the public perception of this is that Tom and the rules are
malleable. What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
And we can talk about this all now. You know, he owns the Raiders now. They're not taking those Super Bowls away from him. So maybe he would have a little tampering involved. You know, it's Tom, for goodness sakes. But this is to your point of what you said, it is pretty dumb. It's like, yeah, Tom Brady meeting with Patrick Mahomes before a game is really going to sway Patrick Mahomes to leave the Chiefs and go to the Raiders.
Yeah, it's like.
No, it's not.
Come on.
No, it's not.
We're fine here.
This is not going to happen. All right. Well, look at that. We sported some.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. We sported a little bit. All right. Let's get the show on the road because we got to stay on topic and stay on track because it is Super Week. We have some Super Bowl stuff. The NBA trade deadline is looming on Thursday.
Vastly approacheth.
Yeah. But where this show has got to start, the Portland Trail Blazers are winners of 8 of their last 9 games. And it's bigger than you think on the surface of what is happening here. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
It's a Super Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
The Portland Trail Blazers win their 4th consecutive game and 8 of the last 9 with a 121-119 win in overtime
dun, 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 dun.
Over the Phoenix Suns last night.
Quite the game. Quite the game. First overtime game of the season.
Really?
Yeah. First OT game of the season. Haven't gotten there.
Well, I'll be damned.
Gotten close a couple times. Yeah, I think they're one of the last teams to have it, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
1-0 all time.
But beyond that, number one, that Suns team, they're not good.
Oh. Okay.
They're not good. Like, they have Beal, they have Durant, and they have Booker. Don't get me wrong. And most more nights than others, they just have Durant and Booker, and who both, my God, are they incredible. The shots they hit last night were
shot makers.
Bonkers. Except for that one Kevin Durant 3 that hit the side of the backboard. Good gravy. What the hell was that?
There was a lot of weird that happened last night in that game where you have side of backboard, you have a behind the hoop wedgie that happened. You had Devin Booker thankfully missing a free throw.
Oh, look, the Blazers won this game, but boy did the Suns fumble it.
Denny Avdija allowing those free throws to happen, that that foul was the look on Denny's face. It said it all. Yeah. Like he was embarrassed.
You're like,
that he fouled Devin Booker in that situation, and
KD and Book both had. I want to say they had combined three or four threes late in the fourth.
Yeah,
to basically win the game.
Well,
to put things away, and they just bricked them. And they were butt naked, wide open in the corner, which those guys never get. Devin Booker, Bradley Beal.
This is all a drop.
Kevin Durant. Those guys, they never get those looks. Mm-hmm. Like, because you're not helping off the strong side corner off Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
And yet the Blazers did because they got put in rotation far too often. But they didn't capitalize on those shots. And, I mean, the biggest story of the night, though, is DeAndre Ayton.
Dude, I was going to say the most surprising part might have been DeAndre Ayton going 7 of 8 from the free throw line. This He's shooting like 65% from the line.
It's because he hasn't taken many free throws.
On the season.
Yeah.
He goes 7 of 8, and in the most critical moments, he ends up sealing the game at the free throw line. And he was a force, and he has been a force over this stretch. And this is why you can say the Blazers aren't stumbling into these wins, even though last night a lot of weird happened. They've been playing good basketball. They've won 8 of their last 9 games, which was 7 of those wins have come against teams that are currently in playoff position in either the East or the West. And it's not a fluke that you end up winning those games. And to think of the last time the Blazers won 8 of 9, do you know when that was?
2019.
No, it was the 2020-2021 season, the abbreviated season coming off the COVID bubble year. They won 8 of their last 9 games, or I think it right before, I think they lost like the second to last game, but it was right near the end of the season. They won 8 of 9 to in that surge to get into the 5 seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, or is it the 6 seed? 6. I think they were 6 seed in 2020, 2021. It was the last time they made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
It was a year that, I mean, the last joy that we've had as Portland Trailblazer fans. It's very rare that you win 8 of 9 games. Hell, the last time the Blazers won 4 games in a row was the very beginning of the 2022-23 season.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And now they've done that twice in the last 9 games. They've won 4 in a row. They're actually playing good basketball. And DeAndre Ayton, my God, he was special last night.
What's interesting is he started the game, I want to say, either 5 of 9 or 5 of 10. I can't remember exactly what he was. But he went 1 for 8 or 1 for his next 9. And they weren't shots that he misses. Like, he left a bunch of shots short and off and missed. And it's just the Blazers went small for a little while, and it wasn't working because the Suns were just hunting whoever they wanted to get Kevin Durant on, whoever is the shortest player on the court, whether it's Scoot Henderson or Anthony Simons.
Seems like a good
and
plan.
Honestly, I thought both of them did really well as far as to try to take away what you can, but he's 7 foot tall and releases it at the top, and there's just nothing you can do to get to that thing. And when he hits those shots, you just go, yeah, he's coming into the game last night. He was 53 points short of 30,000 for his career. Devin Booker just set the Suns' all-time scoring record last night. Like, those are two professional scorers. But as it pertains to DeAndre Ayton, even in spite of kind of falling off the rails a little bit, he didn't stop giving the attention to detail and effort and energy on defense. He still hit the glass incredibly hard. I mean, he comes up with a 2020 game. I mean, they needed every last ounce for him to step up and knock down those free throws. You remember?
It's huge.
Remember the last time that DeAndre Ayton had clutch free throws? Was with the Phoenix Suns and the Portland Trailblazers. He was on the other side of that, and Damian Lillard told him he wasn't good enough at that moment.
Oh, yeah.
Stars too bright.
Yeah.
And he choked.
That's great.
He didn't last night.
Well, Dame wasn't there to tell him he's going to choke.
I mean, but he stepped up and knocked him down. I mean, he has been, and this is, we talked about this yesterday, he has been one of the biggest factors for them in this run.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that not only can they rely on him offensively, but they can rely on him defensively. You can rely on him to secure rebounds. Like, he is so key to what they are doing and letting everybody else do.
Yeah.
It's huge.
He is only the 7th Blazer ever to have a 25-point, 20-rebound game.
Yeah, it's a monster night.
The others to do it, LaMarcus Aldridge did it 5 times. Mm-hmm. Zach Randolph did it twice.
Gobble, 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 gobble. Mr. Rebound.
Arvydas Sabonis, Buck Williams, Jerome Kersey, Yusuf Nurkic all did it once.
Wow, was that Nurk's 5x5 game against Sacramento?
He had 28 points, 20 rebounds. Let me see. 8 assists, 6 blocks.
Yeah, that's his 5x5 game.
Yeah.
It was against the Kings. Yeah, that game was bonkers.
Yeah.
Bonkers. God, I'm surprised Jerome didn't have more.
Jerome did it one time, and he went for 34 and 20.
Good Lord.
Mercy, mercy.
Good. He was just such a monster on the glass. I would have figured he would have found a way to make that happen.
Yep. But, I mean, that kind of highlights just how rare those occurrences are.
25-20 games are monsters, man. I mean, he missed a ton of shots last night, which he doesn't normally do, but he kept going.
Only, I mean, he's the seventh guy to do it, and it's only been done 12 times in franchise history.
And it's not like this team has been short on, like, you know, rebounding scores.
No.
It's actually one of the things they've done really good with.
Surprised Bill Walton wasn't on there?
Yeah.
You know, maybe Maurice Lucas. Maybe
Maurice, yeah.
Like, you know.
And even as limited as time as he played, that Greg didn't get one is kind of surprising.
Yeah. He's dominant.
I mean, because he had a couple games where you just went, oh, God.
This is, it feels like a fluke, but it also
he's been playing
doesn't
with this.
Because they've been playing really well right now. And it's not a signal or a beacon to this team turning things around, even though, like, hey, 53-29 might be in play. Who's to say? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they'll just win out.
They're not going to.
Oh, okay. They're not going to go 53-29.
They're not even going to make for the play-in because there's something you have to remember. Mm. The pick that they still owe the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
And if you look at where they're at standings-wise, they're just kind of in this space of, like, they're really not going to get above it, and they're really not going to get below it.
Well, that sucks.
I mean, the math just isn't mathing now. I don't think they can get down to the 5 spot.
Don't we? I mean, and this is a big issue because last night it was apparent, and it continues to be apparent on the Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. It's apparent. Blazer fans aren't happy necessarily with the winning that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And because the signal was sent out, this year isn't about wins and losses. This win is about development.
Mm-hmm.
And fans have done a very good job of rewiring themselves to say losses mean more.
Mm-hmm.
This team is not playing like that.
No.
And that's why it's a really odd spot to be in, is because it's like, wait, we were told the losses are good. And now this team, the growth and development, which is what the signal was at the beginning of the year, it's happening.
And that's the thing organizationally that I've been told is, like, they're not going to – you can't tell these guys that winning matters and teach them what winning matters, and then when they start winning too much, sit them down and tell them no.
Yeah.
And you can do that with the vets, which, again, I still believe very strongly they will do. Maybe not the day after the trade deadline or after the All-Star break, but very quick afterwards.
Okay, let's get into this, though, because one thing is that if development is the key – then the young guys should be getting a lot of minutes. But it's a yes and no, and how much does the trade deadline play a factor into this? It's coming up. We're 48 hours away from it.
Yeah, less than now.
From the trade deadline, how much is that playing a role in what we're seeing from DeAndre Ayton, Jeremy Grant,
mm-hmm.
Anthony Simons, the likes of those guys that have been rumored to be available and movable assets.
Sure.
First is Big Will Betts with the Sports Center update. Go get him, Tiger.
It's a Super Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
Portland Trail Blazers have won 8 of their last 9 games. You have seen inspired performances by DeAndre Ayton. Denny Avdija has been playing lights out basketball for the Blazers.
I think you can basically just say everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy as that
Scoot
sounds.
Henderson.
Like, legitimately, everybody's played well during the stretch.
Yeah. And even like Ant last night wasn't spectacular from a scoring output.
No.
Did everything that you need, though, to facilitate.
One of his better floor games.
Hot hands, though. And they're playing good basketball. And the question has got to be, in a year that development was key, right? And that was long discussed. You look at who played last night, and I think last night's a good indicator. Tight game throughout the entirety of it, okay? It goes into overtime. It's nip and tuck. What did that rotation look like? Only 8 guys played last night.
Yeah, the rotation has definitely been shortened down over the last 2 weeks. There's no doubt about that.
And coming off the bench, you had Donovan Kling with 10 minutes, Shaedon Sharpe with 19, and Scoot Henderson with 22. Everybody else, the starting five, they played over 40 minutes last night.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be noted, overtime game, that's a 53-minute game. Okay.
Yeah. So you get an additional 5 minutes. I know where you're going to go with this as far as like Shaedon and Scoot, but Shaedon didn't play long because he wasn't good last night. Like
no.
That's the whole thing. That's the thing that they're trying to instill. And Scoot didn't play because they went with Ant down the stretch to open the floor for Denny and two like that and NDA. That's the way Phoenix and Bud decided to cover the Trailblazers last night was to double and trap and force Anthony Simons to get off the ball at 40 feet, which puts them in rotation early, which allows DA to roll and have some space. It allows Denny to get downhill. It allows two to be the guy on the backside corner to knock down threes. And by God, did he last night? 5 of 6 from three, 4 of 5 in the second half. But look at the I don't think you can look at each game and go, but they didn't do this here. They didn't do that here. Look at what they have been over the last 9 games. These are your minutes. Tumani Kamara, 36. DeAndre Ayton, 36. Anthony Simons, 34. Denny Avdia, 34. Jeremy Grant, 32. Scoot Henderson, 27. Shaedon Sharpe, 27. They're playing 27 minutes a night.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. It's absolutely entirely fine. The additional 3 minutes does not matter.
Yeah.
Does not matter. You are not getting any more good, any more bad, anything out of that. As long as they are being given the opportunity to play every single night, think about that. If Shaedon Sharpe played 19 minutes last night and his minute average is still at 27, that means he's been above that because you're talking about a less than 10-game sample.
What do we think about, though? Again, Donovan Klingon playing 20-plus minutes is not feasible. 10 seems low. 10 seemed very low.
Well, the problem was when they tried to go with him out there, he just was having a ton of trouble. He's still not comfortable leaving the paint. And you saw him get stuck on Beal. You saw him get stuck on Booker out on the perimeter. And it's deer in headlights type stuff. And he needs to learn. No, he needs to watch a lot of tape and needs to work on his footwork. He needs to work on his conditioning before he can get out there so he doesn't have bad minutes. That's where he needs to be. Like, if you get him out there against the team.
I think what you're saying right now, though, development does not mean minutes.
No, and it does not translate to on court. More often than not, development happens behind the scenes, and you don't see it for a very long time.
And that's where I go back to this team is not operating as a team that is tanking. Because teams that are tanking,
no.
Development does mean just minutes, throw it out, roll the ball out, we'll see where we are.
And this is not me just gassing at the Blazers. This is what I said coming into the season. The way they're playing right now, not necessarily the wins. But coming into the season, what did I say? You want Anthony Simons out there so you have room for Denny Avdia, for Tumani Kamara, for DeAndre Ayton. Like, those are the opportunities that you have alongside that. And when Scoot Henderson's out there, you want Jeremy Grant on the floor working on the backside so that there is space for Scoot Henderson to drive the lane and find DeAndre Ayton on lobs. Like, it's doing the things that you wanted to see. It's just that it's also translating into wins because their defense has been one of the best defenses in the league for the past 2 weeks.
Okay, and now, why is it, and that's the reason why this is turning into wins instead of, because look, we came into this year saying defensively they were bad.
Yeah.
And they did not have three-point shooting. Like, those were the two, mm-hmm. those were the two 100%. Big, massive red flags that were, this is why they won't win games. Well, that's kind of changing.
I 100% agree.
And even though they're not shooting lights out from three in every single game, it's the defensive end is really picking up the slack on that.
The defense has been phenomenal. And actually, I'm just sorted. So from January 1st on, let's see, where did they go? I lost them.
But in the grand scheme of things, the trade deadline, how much is playing into the trade deadline as we look at this to guys like, you know, that idea that fans have, which I don't think is, I do not believe that this is a truth across the board that the Blazers franchise and the players themselves are showcasing themselves for the trade deadline.
I've never believed that stuff.
But if you want to hear DeAndre Ayton, I thought that this really rang true in the postgame when he was talking with Brooke Olsendam. Listen to what he said And you tell me, is this a guy trying to showcase himself for a trade?
That's what we do. I mean, I can't even say it enough. The fans really gave us the energy tonight and just got us amped up. We even came out a little slow, but the fans made sure. We made sure we stayed on our A game, and I just love it. My teammates had my back talking to me all night. I keep telling you, Brooke, I love it here.
I keep telling you, Brooke, I love it here. Mm-hmm. Like, when he said that, I was like, okay, this is... everybody, and this is everybody from a fan standpoint, is you need to trade any combination of DeAndre Ayton, Jeremy Grant, Robert Williams, Anthony Simons. Mm-hmm. And they look at this stretch right now and say, oh, this is a showcase for the trade deadline. It doesn't feel like it.
I don't think that's ever the case.
When you hear Chauncey speak, when mm-hmm. you hear the players speak after games, that's not what they're signaling.
No. I don't ever believe that, like, the showcase for trade. Everybody's like, you know, Rob's sitting down, he's getting traded. Rob's playing, he's not getting traded. It's like, no, not every single thing that is out there is indicative of trade deadline stuff. And the only time someone gets sat for a trade is if they're about to be traded right then. Or there is a deal currently under, like, in the framework that is being done, i.e. Josh Hart, who gets traded before tip-off. Like,
well, and that's like, everybody said this, Jeremy Grant comes back from the face, mm-hmm. Whatever it was, facial bruise, whatever.
Contusion. Sure.
And then he goes out with a rolled ankle, and everybody's like, bah, there it is.
He's getting traded. It's like, no,
he actually did roll his ankle, yeah. Sat out one game, and he's been back and playing.
Yeah, he tried to continue playing. I mean, we all saw the guy fall on his leg.
Don't worry about
that. Yeah, it's just like, come on, guys.
Don't worry about that.
Be a little bit more media literate with this stuff. As it pertains to trade stuff in general, I have no reason to believe that the Blazers are either shopping DeAndre Ayton or have they received calls on him. Like, I've said, if anything is going to be visited about that, I don't think that happens until this summer.
But doesn't this organizationally put you in a really tough position? Because right now, everything is working. Chauncey Billups is coaching his ass off, mm-hmm. and the guys are responding and continue to respond. This puts you in limbo. This puts you in the spot where you're not good enough to be in that top five.
No.
And the more that they win, the odds go further and further away from you. And you've said this, like, hey, getting into the top three isn't going to happen. No. Well, now we're like, top five ain't going to happen. And that is the slippery slope, because your odds exponentially go down mm-hmm. to jump everybody else in the draft lottery. And you've said, I'll start getting concerned at 22 wins.
Yep,
they're at 21 and 29 right mm-hmm. now.
No, like I said, yeah, 100%.
I mean, and that is a spot where, look, how do you get that star to get over the hump? Because you're not going to – this team as it is, it's fun to watch them play really well right
but
now.
You can see that they're missing something.
There is a massive ceiling, and it's a very low one that you're going to hit your head on very soon.
Yeah, and I think they do know that. But, again, this is the whole, like, when you're on the ground level, when you're talking to people, or on the organization, you're talking to players, you're talking to coaches, like, they all know the deal. But they're not going to go out there and lose.
No, players and coaches don't.
And even organizationally. If organizationally you're talking about, you know, you want your guys to learn how to win and not be stuck in the muck and to show development, what do you do when they start showing that development? Shaedon Sharpe has contributed to a lot of wins recently. Scoot Henderson has contributed to a lot of wins recently. Tumani Kamara, Danny Avdia. I mean, those two guys have contributed to a metric crap ton of wins mm-hmm. going forward. Like, You're getting exactly what you want. Just because it was a fan want to see the minute log look different, like, organizationally, they're accomplishing their goals of getting their guys to show real growth.
Yeah.
And to them, that's the thing. This, for better or worse, that is something they have always kind of preferred, the one in hand over two in the bush situation. Like, look at the transactions that they've made, where they haven't prioritized picks, they've prioritized players. Now, would they like to have some more draft capital to get their war chest so that they can go trade for another Danny Avdia or another fringe, you know, all-star type player shakes free and they can go get that guy? Like, those, like, sure, I think they would like those things.
But that doesn't get you to a competitive
Trust me, I get
level.
It.
Let me,
I think that they should, after the all-star break, should be steering into the skid and sitting all the vets.
Yeah.
Unequivocally.
Do we think that'll happen?
I'm pretty certain that they will.
Yeah. And that's the hard part.
But I didn't expect them to win 8 of 9.
Right. Right. And that, like, that's the part that is hard to navigate through, right? They've gotten to a point where they've made enough savvy moves to get you to a point where it's not just competent basketball. They can play really good basketball in stretches.
And that's the thing. Is like,
how long does this hold for?
Think about this. They've won 8 of 9 and they're 21 and 29.
Yeah.
Like, they're not. You can zoom back out and also go, yeah, that's, you know, the likelihood of this being sustainable and this being like the best version of them being the, you know, like if this is the actual best version, like they're just good.
And
they're plucky, but they're not.
There's no pathway, though, to be great. And that's like, that was the whole point of trading Damian Lillard.
Hoping and praying.
Is getting to a point where, all right, how do we get to great? Because they went from very good with Dame.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get to great?
Yeah.
Which is getting over that hump. And you can't do it unless you have a superstar player. You can't get a superstar player unless you sign him in free agency. We know that's not happening in Portland. Or you draft them.
Or you trade for them.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, you look at this roster and you say, all right, you could trade all of your pieces and you could get a star back, but then everything around him is not going to be good enough to be a great team. And
which
so
is why I think
that's why you have to go through the draft.
You've got reporting from Jovan Buha talking about how the Blazers are flagging that they won an unprotected first round pick for Robert Williams III because they
Lakers writers.
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Huh. Well,
you know,
a Lakers writer is saying that.
Well, again, I've been trying to tell people they're not taking seconds for Robert Williams III.
No.
Ding, 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 ding. But the reason that they're saying this stuff is they if they're going to trade a guy that they believe in kind of going forward, they want a premium asset for it. And then they take that premium asset and they go flip it for something else.
And the slippery slope in that is that can turn very quickly into overvaluing your assets
for sure.
Like Neil Olshey did for several years. And that's what you hope does not.
The one pushback is I have yet to hear a deal that was offered where I was like, oh God, they should have taken that. Where under Neil Olshey, there were multiple deals that I had sourced from multiple people that he absolutely passed up on deals that he should have taken.
And I feel like I need to have the disclaimer of the separation between the person of Neil Olshey and the way he operated business.
Yes.
Because Joe Cronin is not either of them right now. But if you get into that operation mode of operating business and overvaluing your assets to a point where you get nothing out of them, then that's where it becomes an issue.
No, 100%. Look, the second I hear about, you know, a deal that they passed up on that I think that they should have taken, I will 100%. You will hear from me in the exact same manner.
Hey, something you said yesterday, it came to light, and Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves damn near said it word for word. Mm-hmm. What you were signaling after the Luka Doncic trade on Saturday. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
It's a Super Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
Yesterday we talked in great length about the Luka Doncic trade and the fear that it struck into the Trailblazers and Suns locker rooms on Saturday in the wake of it as they found out in the waning moments of that game that, in fact, Luka Doncic was traded from the Mavs to the Lakers. Well, that wasn't just a in Portland situation.
No.
Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves had a really open and honest response when asked about the Luka trade yesterday following their game.
They say that nobody knew about the trade, though. Yeah, so that's crazy. At 25, they traded probably the best scorer in the NBA at 25. He didn't know about it. So it's a lot more digging somebody got to do to find out why he got traded. Because you don't just trade him at 25. He just went to the finals, you know what I'm saying? So I feel bad for Luka, man, because I saw some on YouTube that say he just bought a crib and everything in Dallas. So that sucks, man. That sucks.
Does it inform, like,
everybody?
You at 23.
Everybody getting informed,
I was going to say, like, wake
I'm scared.
How you see the league.
Yeah, I'm scared. Tim, hey, if you're going to trade me, let me know, dog. When Luka got traded, anybody is able to get traded at that point.
The signal is shot up by the Dallas Mavericks to the rest of the NBA.
Look, the it was a shot across the bow, and it reverberated around the league. Every single player I talked to said some version of the same thing. Like, Luka can get got? I can get got. I can get got. Like, and it was like, it's hard out here.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of that. It was like, look, the money's good, but like, after that, everybody is on notice.
And Luka had his introductory press conference today with the Lakers, and he was, I mean, he said all the right things, but you could tell that dude going through it.
I mean, it was very much a why he don't want me no more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
what did I do? Well,
you can say he's like, oh, he's in LA and he's got everything going for him. But like, he just bought a $50 million house. He's got a family. He's like, despite how onerous and, you know, ornery and ridiculous and stuff was behind the scenes, when all of a sudden the reality sets in that all of the stuff that you did piss them off to an extent that they said that they're done with you at 25,
yep,
you're going to feel a certain kind of way.
I fear Nico Harrison just unlocked the best version of Luka Doncic, and he's going to be playing for the Lakers doing it.
Yeah. Your kid Luka fan yet?
No.
Does he know?
Yeah, he knows.
Okay.
He was sad about Anthony Davis leaving. I was like, why? Even though Anthony Davis has been catching a lot of ricochet shots in this because of the player that he was traded for, Anthony Davis, really damn good player. And we talked about this yesterday. Like, they gave up a superstar in his own right in Anthony Davis.
Sure, on the tail end of his career and injury riddled and 6 years older. But,
well, isn't Luka kind of the same, though?
I mean, six years is a lot.
But as Nico Harrison said yesterday, 3 to 4 years, they'll probably be dead.
Speaking of Nico
Harrison,
which
was a weird thing to say.
This came out from Mike Pelucci, who writes for D Magazine. It's the big Dallas magazine, city paper kind of deal. There's been belief, which multiple team and league sources expressed to me over the past months, long before this trade, that Harrison does not have a long-term desire to remain in his current role as a general manager. Seems like a pertinent thing for an owner to know. And the tinfoil is tightening about Nico Harrison being a sleeper agent. It is so funny. I hope it happens. I hope it's actually the thing that happened, because then it's devious and insane. But it makes more sense than just trading Luka Doncic.
Okay. Explain what the hell that even means. What would he be a sleeper agent for?
Nike and the Lakers.
So you're saying that Nike helped get their guy and the Lakers into the Dallas Mavericks organization once they realized Luka was as good as he was, because they knew that the Lakers were going to be basically without a superstar, or with only a very old, injury-riddled superstar. So they put Nico Harris into this position as the GM to one day make a horrific trade that essentially sells their soul to the Lakers.
Yep.
And then the Lakers then have this great player
for
the entirety of his prime. You think that is possible?
Yeah.
It's less crazy than trading for Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis in a first-round pick.
Whoa.
If the guy's ego is hurt, not necessarily.
And Max Christie. Don't do this. Max Christie.
Maxi Kleba was traded for Max Christie.
Dang.
Max for Max. But, like, no, I don't actually believe this, but it's
a Max deal.
It's not the most insane thing I've ever heard.
It didn't help that Dwayne Wade yesterday was out there spouting off about Luka Doncic went from, you know, number 6 in jersey sales. He'll be number 1 in L.A., you know? Like,
look,
that doesn't help.
It is the premier market in the NBA.
Yeah.
Then it's not close. Everybody talk about the Knicks all you want. No. It's the Lakers, and it's not even the Celtics. It is the Lakers. They are the premier brand. Put this guy in Los Angeles. I mean, there's already talk about LeBron James saying, like, this is Luka Doncic's team. Like, it's like,
if this is ever found to be true, it's, I like, did I just become an Adidas guy? Yeah. I don't know.
But you mean, like,
I'll give you a reason why not to be an Portland Adidas guy in the break.
Mm. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay.
Adidas slander.
Look into their history.
Oh,
as
man.
I wear
well,
my Adidas
I don't think that
pants.
Needs, I don't think that needs to be during a break. Yeah, no. We all know.
Yeah, no.
I was just making sure.
Just keep your right arm down.
Yeah. I don't.
Mr. Adidas.
No Elon Musk here. We're good.
I don't. I think I own a pair of Adidas. And they're the Dame 1 All-Stars.
I have the Dame 2 Rose Cities, which are the limited edition ones. Those were
Yeah, but that's it though.
But I played basketball. Right, I played basketball in the D Roses for 3 or 4 years. Those are some of the best basketball shoes I've ever worn.
Mm.
I think the only other pair of Adidas basketball shoes I ever had was the Kobe Crazy Eights.
So bad.
I like those back in the day. You're not the one that looks like a spaceship. The big chunky ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. No.
Yeah.
I don't believe the sleeper agent. Not one bit. I'm not going to do it. Nope.
I'll find a way.
Not going to do it. Look, my tinfoil hat can be tightened up. Mm. This ain't going to be the one that does it for me. You know?
I'll tighten you up.
They got Nico Harrison to be the GM for the Dallas Mavericks with Mark Cuban as the owner when he took over as the GM. And then he laid low in the weeds until it was time to
strike. The other part of this is there's a bunch of people in the NBA who think Jason Kidd had a larger hand in forcing Luka out than is currently being discussed.
I think that has far more legs. If I'm going to power rank, I'm going to say that is number one. I think number two is...
He's just that stupid?
I will go down the road of the Adelson family wanting to have their casino resort in Dallas-Fort Worth with an arena attached to it.
And they want to devalue the team until then?
Well, no, and they weren't getting their way, so they're like, you know what we'll do? Fine, we're going to sell this thing off and take it down to the bones, you dorks. Even though I think their roster is in a better spot right now
They literally this morning traded away their other guy who could dribble, pass, and shoot.
But now
they have one.
Yeah, they have a guy, but that guy they have is pretty good.
He's also very injury-prone and crazy.
Absolutely. But at least they got bigs, and the Lakers have none.
No, you're not wrong. They're collecting bigs like Infinity Stones.
And they have one pick that they can dangle to try to get that because Nico Harrison didn't demand that extra pick for Luka Doncic. It's infuriating. Hey, the NBA isn't the only one with wild trade season. I don't think I've seen the NFL go quite headline grabby as what we've seen over the last 2 days in the trade market.
Look at us.
Mm-hmm. Danny Dusty on the Fan.